This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, it is a great week for you to join us because it's the second biggest week, apparently, of 2015 in professional wrestling. Welcome, everyone, to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. Yes, we did skip a week, as a few on Facebook, on the Place to Be Nation page, did notice, and we did that on purpose because I wanted to have this week's episode leading right up to the big weekend in professional wrestling. And we're actually going to make it up by actually doing back-to-back episodes because we'll be back next week as well. But tonight, we got a great group here because we're going to be in the borough this weekend. For the first time since 2008, SummerSlam is not in that latte sipping dumpster they call Los Angeles. Nope. It's going to be in a, it's going to be in the borough where the pizza's good and the attitude's even better. Live from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York on Sunday night, SummerSlam will commence. But that's only the that's the epilogue. We got chapters before that and we're going to talk about it. Two big shows, not one, two big shows on Saturday night. One on one end of the borough and one on all the way to the other end of the borough. For those that don't know the borough of Brooklyn very well, it's not exactly a small town where things are very close to each other. Because the Barclays Center, where one event's happening, and MCU Park, where the other event's happening, are about a half hour apart. So, let's dive in. Three of the core four are here. We'll begin with the Boogie of the Bayou. Jesus, I haven't talked to him in eons. He, of course, is the co-host of the awesome NBA Team podcast on PoliceNation.com, Andrew Reich. What's up, Boogie?
What's up? Is there any shrimp on those shrimp pizzas?
Ugh. We don't put shrimp on pizza in New York. We don't put shrimp on pizza in New Haven either. Clams, yes. Not shrimp. We keep it in the gumbo.
I've eaten a few in my day. Not good.
I thought you were going to say I've eaten a few tonight.
You would think in your childhood imagination that it would like be great. Nope.
Yep.
Does not sound good.
Who's this guy? You know what I love about the PWO guys? They break the fourth wall before we even get a chance to introduce them. Happened last night, too. Why don't we bring him in now since he already talked? One of my favorite people, he is host of Goodwill Wrestling, a myriad of other casts. He's a co-host with my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, the Dangerous Alliance podcast. And I was with him and JR and Mr. Sorrows last night for the Mr. SummerSlam cast. Will from Texas. Hi, Will. Back-to-back
What's
nights,
up,
brother.
Man? Dude, I feel like I've been glued to this headset for
I know.
A week, man.
It's the second week this year. Remember WrestleMania week, you did like 38 podcasts.
Yeah.
This week you've done only like 20. So.
Yeah, 22, something like that.
You had a great week. Great shows, man. And and of course it'll be capped off Sunday night when you do the SummerSlam reaction show. So.
And we're doing a reaction show for the NXT.
For NXT.
Takeover as well, yeah.
Yep. No, it's going to be awesome. So good to have you on tonight. Another guy who's already packing his bags for Minneapolis in a year and a half, Mr. Jordan Dungan.
Happy birthday, Will.
No shit, right?
I give Will a cake every day of the year and have a big green DX frosting on top of it. But
yeah, I didn't know if we just started talking, that meant we got to get introduced next. I'm going to start doing that from now on.
I thought I had to break it up because Scott's intro was about as long as the SummerSlam. Yeah.
That's why it's my show, Will.
We're doing a super long intro because this is a show that features The Undertaker, so we're kind of, you know, setting the theme there.
Yeah. You could do a long intro.
The third hour is Taker's entrance. The fourth hour is the match.
Yeah, right?
And you know, Will, you could do long intros for your show if your guys didn't cut you off 35
hey,
seconds in, too. So
it was actually your longstanding co-host, JR, who cut us
off. That's right, he did. And he swore.
That's right, man.
Oh, man. JD, always a pleasure. And finally, I feel like a burden is lifted. Lifted, I tell you. Because he's back from his hiatus. Hearing his voice is very soothing. And no, it's not Steve Willey. Steve could not join us tonight. But I get to see Steve Willey this weekend for the first time ever. But he's back. The man behind the mask. I forgot which movie that was. He is, of course, a great contributor to PlaceMeNation.com. The purveyor of Marvel.com. Yes! Mr. Ben Morrison.
I'm gonna step away from the snark for a few seconds. I promise we'll be back almost immediately and just say I'm really, really happy to be here tonight. You know, listeners know I've been gone for a little while. It's been some tough times for me. Thankfully, they are passing, and a lot of that I got through thanks to support from a lot of people, and one of those people was definitely Scott and the rest of the folks who are on this show, and actually even Will, who I barely know. I listened to a lot of Dangerous Alliance when I was recuperating. So
well,
you
I'm
guys
glad,
have all,
I'm glad you're feeling better, brother.
Yeah, you guys have all helped me through a tough time, and Place to Be Nation, you know, kind of came together and checked on me and stuff like that. So I feel blessed to be on this show tonight. And with that, let's start laughing again. Enough of this serious maudlin crap. Let's talk to Will about how excited he is about the Undertaker match.
Hold on.
What?
First, we're going to give Scott props for singing an Alice Cooper song
from
1986. All right. There's probably no bigger Alice Cooper fan on earth than me. And when I heard him, I was like, hey, man, that's from the Constrictor album. And it was Friday the 13th.
That's what it was. I knew it was a horror movie.
Jason Lives. That's right.
That's right. The man behind the mask. Ben, it's good to have you back.
It's great.
Guys, this week rocks. You know, when I was a kid, this was actually my favorite pay-per-view, and still is.
They didn't have pay-per-views when you were a kid.
Wow. I guess the snark is back. Man. I'm calling him Soros. He was nicer to me last night.
he's right, though.
You said I'm meaner than Soros.
Actually, he is quite true.
What was it called? Closed circuit.
Yeah, yeah, closed circuit. Plug in the back.
Let's watch Muhammad Ali fight a guy on the floor for
20 all right.
Time classic.
So, my favorite pay-per-view has always been SummerSlam. Not WrestleMania. A lot of people love the Royal Rumble, but my favorite pay-per-view, because it was the first one I ever bought with my own money, and it was the one I always hosted at my house. My group of friends, we kind of toured to people's houses for the Big Four. I always hosted SummerSlam. And going back to the Garden, and Will, we talked about some great matches and guys last night. SummerSlam's always been my personal favorite. So I get stoked every year. And for the first time since 2008, we don't have to look at it from those latte sippers who show up late and leave early. And we're going to be in Brooklyn because WWE did not want to have the two big shows both on the left coast. And as we know, of course, WrestleMania 31 was in Santa Clara, San Francisco, Silicon, wherever the hell it was. By the way, trivia question. Can anybody give me the last SummerSlam not in L.A. was? Anybody remember?
Indianapolis.
You are correct. Conseco Fieldhouse in 2008. Very good.
Jericho punched Shawn Michaels' wife in the face.
Yep. That was one we were talking about it last night, Will. The paintbrush shot of Whisper. So, yeah, 2008 at Conseco Fieldhouse was the last SummerSlam not.
I love the poster. It's got Maria Kanellis on a jet ski.
Yep, that's right.
Very nice.
So we will talk about SummerSlam proper in our second segment. But first, we've got two huge shows on Saturday night. There is, of course, NXT TakeOver, which we'll talk about second, because that was announced after this was announced. And this is where I will be. The Doctor, Armento, Mr. Zero, and some other Glenn Butler and Steve Willey and some of the other guys will be at MCU Park in Brooklyn and Coney Island for Field of Honor, which is the outdoor Ring of Honor show.
Now, Scott, did you go to Field of Honor last year?
I did not.
I
didn't.
I have not been to Field of Honor, but I did when TNA was still a thing.
Yes.
They ran Baseball. MCU Park, and I got to go there. I mean, there were only about 20 people there, but great place to watch wrestling. A lot of fun.
So, I've been there for concerts and for Brooklyn Cyclones baseball. They're the single-A affiliate of the Mets. So here's the card. 7:30 bell time. So this actually starts before, well, technically it starts the same time as NXT, although NXT's a proper show. We'll start at 9 on the WWE Network, but I know they're doing tapings before that. Here's the card, top to bottom, and then we'll just bounce around and talk about some various things. The Briscoe brothers will take on the Time Splitters, which is Alex Shelley and Kushida. Probably the match everybody's looking forward to. The dual champion, Jay Lethal, who is both the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion as well as TV champion, and his partner, Mr. Nakamura, taking on Red Dragon. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, Red Dragon just won the junior tag belts for
junior
the Young
tag
Bucks.
Belts. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. The IWGP Heavyweight Champion Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada. I don't know, everybody loves when I butcher Japanese names, but yeah, at least I got
best,
Okada.
So you got
this is
that
the best
one.
Part of any show.
Yep.
very clever way of getting around saying Nakamura's first name.
For Scott Bakula, that was like an 8 out of 10.
Shinooksi, right?
Shinsuke.
Okay, Shinosuke. All right, cool.
Oh, shit.
You added about 2 extra syllables.
I know. Kazuchika Okada against Mr. Ring of Honor, Roderick Strong. Tag team rematch, the GHC Heavyweight Champions, the Killer Elite Squad, Little Davey Boy, Baby Bulldog, and Lance Archer taking on the War Machine, Hanson and Rowe. I like Hanson, not the band. In a non-title match, IWGP Intercontinental Champion Hiroki Goto will take on...
Hanson.
The Unbreakable Michael Elgin. Adam Cole and will take on one half of the World Tag Team Champions, Almighty Christopher Daniels. In an 8-man tag team match, in this match I'm most definitely looking forward to, the Young Bucks, Matt Seidel and ACH, will take on the Kingdom with Maria Kanellis and RPG Vice. And a gauntlet match for a future Ring of Honor World TV title shot, which will take place on September 19th, down your neck of the woods, Will, down in San Diego.
Already got my tickets.
Yep, it's going to be your participants. The other half of the tag team champions, one of my favorite guys, Frankie Kazarian. Moose, another one of my favorites. Donovan
Dijak.
Oh, Dijak, that's right. First time I've actually ever seen his name in print. That's why I got it wrong, but I did know it was Dijak. Cedric Alexander, Adam Page, Dalton Castle, and pro wrestling's last man, Silas Young. Now that I've completed the butchering of half these names, let's go around the horn. Now, I got to tell you, the best match I've watched live this year was also Ring of Honor. It was 8 months ago, the night before the Royal Rumble in Philly. It was ACH, Seidel, and Cedric Alexander against AJ Styles and the Young Bucks. That match was absolutely ridiculous. I have a feeling that six-man may come very close.
Eight man.
I think that 8-man is going to come very close. Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
Some observations about this card you think will happen?
It's really cool to see all the New Japan talent being brought in, particularly so soon after the G1 Climax. So a lot of these names are still fresh. I mean, I think Goto and Elgin had a match during the G1 Climax. I mean, everyone had a match during the G1 Climax because that's how the G1 Climax works. But it's cool that they brought over all these Japanese names. The last Ring of Honor show I was at was Final Battle at the end of last year. And like you, I saw some of the best live wrestling I've seen in ages. I saw there was another Young Bucks addiction match that night that was absolutely fantastic. So it's a really solid card. That 8-man sounds good. The gauntlet match will probably be a lot of fun. I think Okada and Strong is going to be sneaky good. I think Strong is one of the most improved wrestlers over the last few years because he was always solid in ring, but the knock against him was he never had a personality. Mm-hmm. I think out in PWG and now starting Ring of Honor, he's really starting to get some charisma going. And Okada's, Okada. So I think they're going to have a really solid match. Very interested to see how Lethal and Nakamura pair up. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I just think up and down, it's going to be a really fun card. And the atmosphere out in MCU Park is excellent. It's great. Like I said, it's a great place to watch wrestling. So should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. A summer night right on Coney Island, right on the boardwalk. And I think, there are still tickets available as far as I know. So And I think it says it is video on demand at 7:30. So I don't know if it's technically iPay-per-view, but
no, it just means you'll get it a couple of days later.
Yeah it's weird. It says when local. It's weird. It says local time. I don't know. Anyway.
When I last watched wrestling at MCU Park, a lot of the guys who were on this card were in TNA, or at least two of them. Mm-hmm. And a couple others. I went out and got dinner with afterwards at a local. It may have been a Waffle House. But all I remember about it is that it was summer. It was sweltering. They turned the AC off because we were the only people there. And an angry Samoa Joe got up, went to the kitchen where they had a standing fan, carried the fan back to our table and positioned it. And the waiters just looked at it like, well, what are we going to do? Like, look at this guy. It's Samoa Joe. So.
That's funny.
A muscle buster.
That's
yeah. There's a Waffle House in Brooklyn.
I don't know if it was a Waffle House. I can't remember what it was.
I'd be
so
stunned.
I just decided to use a good generic
they're only in
wrestling.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, I decided to use a good generic wrestling restaurant. So it was
That's
probably
right.
not a Waffle.
It's
House.
A Road Stories restaurant. I went to my first Waffle House about a month ago. Will.
Okay. Well, I actually went to a TV taping a couple of months back that day in San Antonio. That's when Red Dragon lost the tag titles to Kazarian and Daniels. And that was the best match I've seen live this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I expect big things from that Red Dragon match. I would say Roderick Strong's in contender for Wrestler of the Year right now. He is just putting on fantastic match. And I'm a guy who fell asleep during a Roderick Strong match live. I was sitting there in the bleachers, falling asleep during his match. So I'm not by any means like a Roderick Strong.
Let's be honest. It's not that hard.
No, man. I think it was Roderick Strong versus Jay Lethal. In fact, I'm not a big Jay Lethal fan either, but I love Nakamura.
They just went an hour on one of their shows just recently, right?
Mm-hmm. No, man. I'm not looking forward to that match. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't want to watch it. I don't know. In my old age, man, like, I can't listen to prog rock anymore. The songs are too long. You know, I prefer like the shorter 2-3 minute matches, and I don't like matches that go kind of over 30 minutes anymore. You know, after a while it just becomes a chore. And so
Lethal is the prog rock of wrestling.
But this one with Okada is gonna be fun.
I love Okada. In fact, while everyone else is kind of calling Tanahashi, you know, Mr. New Japan, man, I was just like, man, I really like Okada. Him and Nakamura, those are my favorite guys. So, I mean, I like this card. The other night when we did the ROH versus NXT, I picked ROH going away. Now, I'm not saying NXT is going to be a bad show. I'm just saying this is a really loaded show. Even like matches that I don't really care for, like Goto versus Elgin. I mean, who cares? You know, it's one match out of 8 matches. I've seen the Young Bucks live. They're always fun live. I don't really care for Roppongi Vice, but, you know, ACH, I've been watching ACH for years here in Texas, you know, before he broke out nationally. And I've never seen him put in a bad performance live, ever. Like, live, he's just the most amazing guy to watch. And the Briscoes are one of my favorite tag teams of the last 15 years. So, if they have a great match, that's just, to me, that's just the cherry on the top, man. To me, this would be the card I would go to as well, Scott. I think you're going to have a blast at this show.
I think so, too. Reesh, anything stand out for you that you think will come off as a gem for the year?
Well, like Will was saying, a lot of the matches look great. I don't know if one in particular is going to be so glaringly so much better than like the other ones. If one has the potential, I would probably have to say Okada and Strong, but I have been catching up with go ahead. Well, what?
I'm sorry, but I just said amen. Yeah. I was just preaching to the choir, man. I was like, hell yeah.
But I've been catching up a lot of the New Japan on Access TV, and I've been watching Kushida. They had an older one he had against Ricochet, who is my favorite wrestler ever now. Just an absolute awesome high flyer who's not on contract, obviously, Ring of Honor, so we're not going to see him. But I've never seen – and I love Kushida, but I've never seen him team with Alex Shelley. So I want to see him team up with Shelley as the time splitters to go up against the Briscoes, who are still a great tag team, even though they've been doing their singles pushes for the longest. You know, Jay Briscoe was obviously the champ for a while before Lethal got him. It's not like Red Dragon versus Lethal and Nakamura is going to be bad. The only problem is that Nakamura is coming off of an injury from the G1, right. So I don't know how good he can, how much he can really put out, especially after a pretty grueling, group play match with Okada and then the final with Tanahashi. So he might be a little winded, but all the matches here are so great, and they pick the right New Japan guys. Like, these are guys that can implement their style into the American style better than pretty much any of the other New Japan guys. Like, Okada could go to any American wrestling promotion and be a star. Like, I'm convinced.
Mm. TNA really screwed him up a couple of years ago.
I was
going to
say, he was a star in TNA.
Well, he was on TNA. They didn't treat him like a star.
As Okato.
Yeah, and the only thing also about Nakamura.
That's how Scott pronounced it, I think.
That's right.
Okato. God damn it, Scott.
No, I would have stolen it from Lord Alpha, called him Kato!
But no, my buddy Dylan pointed out on the show the other night that there's two Nakamuras. There's Big Match Nakamura, playing the Tokyo Dome Nakamura. Then there's Torin Nakamura, who kind of gets by on his charisma and doesn't do much. So, but yeah. Red Dragon's hot, man. That's a hot tag team.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly is killing it. He had one with Kushida about 3 months ago, or maybe 2 months ago, that like absolutely tore it up in Japan. So,
yeah. Andrew, I have gotten to see the Time Splitters live, and they're cool. They're tremendous. Shelley compliments Kushida perfectly, so that will be
great. I want to see that one the most. Yeah.
You know, another match we didn't really talk about, the Killer Elite Squad versus War Machine. That was actually a match on the TV tapings I went to, and it was shaping up to be like the third best match of the night, but it had some interference and kind of like a shitty non-ending. And so hopefully they give this one a good ending, because that was a really fun like match between like guys just beating the shit out of each other.
JD, anything jump out at you on this card?
I think you guys covered a lot of it well.
Cool, let's move on.
A couple things Andrew said, I think they were really smart with who they brought in from New Japan too. And here's why. I'm a guy who, I don't get Ring of Honor TV where I'm at, like in syndication or anything like that. And I know the names and stuff just from following, but I'm not up to date on the current product. But I do get the New Japan show, and if you didn't know them already and you watch New Japan, these are the names that are heavily featured on their show. You know what I mean? So I don't know how many people out there watch New Japan TV that don't watch Ring of Honor, but it's kind of a smart thing. I think Okada vs. Strong will probably be the best match. That would be the one I would be the most interested in. And I will say, I think I've got you guys beat in the longest I've been since the Ring of Honor show. I was at Showdown in Motown. That was the last Ring of Honor show I got to attend live. Daniel Bryan defended the title against Chris Sabin. So that was the last time I got to go to Ring of Honor. So,
oh, man.
Yeah,
I did the one before WrestleMania 25 in Texas, and it was Take No Prisoners 09. It was their last like tape pay-per-view, and the main event was tag, and it was, I think it was Kenta and Tyler Black versus Aries and another Noah wrestler that I can't remember. That was long ago. Jimmy Jacobs wrestled Necro Butcher. That's how long ago it was.
Like the CZW feud or something.
They did a suplex like from the top of the stands onto the floor, and they stopped the match. It was
I don't think Necro's been in since the CZW feud.
Yeah, they've been through Detroit many, many times since then. It's just one of those things where it just never works out to where I can go when they're here. Actually, Kevin Steen's last match was here in Dearborn, which is 10 minutes from me, and I couldn't go. His last Ring of Honor match. So that sucks.
Super sad, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I'm a little bummed there won't be any title matches, but that's okay. That's the old school guy in me. I like title matches, but
they're saving those for the pay-per-views, I guess.
Yeah,
Scott, I think you'll like the 8-man the most.
I know I'm gonna love the 8-man because it's got
Young Bucks. I mean,
wait, hold on. The IWGP Heavyweight Champion is
it's non-title.
It's non-title.
That one's non-title. Okay, because on the No, it says on the – I'm just looking at the website. It says on the website that the Intercontinental belt is non-title, but the actual Okada title is
– Really?
Yeah.
It says IWGP Heavyweight Champion Rainmaker, guy against Roderick Strong.
Title match.
Maybe it is on the line. Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Scott, I'll give you one suggestion before we get out of here because you love AJ Styles and Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Best in the World, they wrestled The Kingdom and Adam Cole. Unbelievable match. Please watch it if you can.
Yeah, I'm. One thing I got to say, about, I got to get Stephen Kevin Kelly will give me some type of code or something. Ring of Honor's put a lot of their DVDs on sale, a lot of the show DVDs on sale. So
you should get those for dirt cheap.
And that show was in New York City, so yeah, ain't gonna be too much farther.
Was that the one you were at, Ben?
Which one?
Which one's
Best in the World? That was the one with the Lethal wanted off of Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, no, I was at Final Battle, which was back in December. I missed Best in the World. Was Best in the World the other one that was in New York? Because I missed that because of a wedding.
Yes.
That was the one in New York City, yes.
Yep, I missed that.
But they don't go to Hammerstein anymore, right? Or
no, now they go to this
Pier 62 or something?
Yeah. It's a really interesting venue because it's a dance club. So it's weird because the balconies, rather than going backwards, they're all right on top of each other. Mm. So you have to basically stand over to watch it. It's a really interesting place to have a wrestling show.
Mm. I'm looking at it at the card, and I'm jealous, man. He saw Red Dragon and the Time Splitters.
Yep.
Young Bucks and ACH versus The Addiction and Cedric Alexander.
That was the best match I saw in 2014.
And to keep an eye out for NXT in the future, Michael Elgin wrestled Tommaso Ciampa.
Ciampa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was okay.
that was just okay. Chumpy. Okay. Yeah.
Now we're gonna see a lot more of Ciampa in the future.
All right. So there is the card for Saturday night at MCU Park in Brooklyn, 1904 Surf Avenue, right on the boardwalk in Coney Island. So tickets are still available because the other show on Saturday night, those tickets are not available. And that is for NXT TakeOver live from the first of three straight nights that WWE will be occupying the Barclays Center. In the Williamsburg side of Brooklyn, near the bridge, near Atlantic Avenue, actually where Ebbets Field used to be. They're on that side of town. Of course, my internet is getting a little squirrely, and for some reason, I cannot get the
Solomon Crow. Solomon Crow is struck again.
No, I don't have any.
Do you want me to run down the card? Is that what you need me to do?
Will, please go ahead. Somebody start shouting matches.
All right, so we got Apollo Crews making his debut, and it could be against Ty Dillinger. Okay.
It is. I remember.
Okay. For the longest time, they just had an X on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Blake and Murphy versus the Vaudevillains for the NXT tag titles. Then we've got Tyler Breeze versus Jushin Thunder Liger. We've got Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin. Sasha Banks versus Bayley. And shoot, man, a big old ad just popped up and got in my way. And finally, the ladder match for the NXT title, Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
And very interestingly, in all the commercials, they've been billing the women's title match and the NXT title match as the double main event. So they're really pushing that NXT women's title match, which is great. Because, I mean, NXT women's
with the Diva Revolution stuff, which is getting good ratings for them. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I was still surprised just because Bayley's not the biggest name on their roster, but it was interesting to see it build as a double main event.
Obviously,
I do not think the women's match will go on last.
No, I don't.
They'll go on simultaneously.
Yeah, right.
Simultaneously. I think it's pretty safe to say that Finn Balor will retain his NXT championship. I can't see.
That it is, Scott. I was thinking about this earlier today as I was watching Kevin Owens promo. I mean, it seems like a slam dunk that, like, yeah, Kevin Owens is on the main roster now. What business does he have in NXT? But the thing I keep thinking is he's still got an outstanding issue with Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. He's still got an outstanding issue with Hideo Itami, who they've implied that he put out. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him get the title back.
And even William Regal, too.
Yeah, like, there's still stuff for Kevin Owens to do in NXT. And if he's going to be there, it's not unheard of that he'd be the champion. If you ask me to put money down, I think Baylor's going to retain, but I don't think it's as open as shut. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, so-and-so's going to the main roster. I think Sasha's going to drop the title because I think she's going to be full-time main mm-hmm. roster. But I think with Owens, I think he may keep doing double duty for a while until those guys are back from injury at least.
So did the entire NXT Divas roster just leave?
Yeah.
I'm just confused.
Not yet. Not yet.
I mean, is technically Becky Lynch and Charlotte, are they technically full-time?
They're on this show.
Yeah, they're in a match that's being taped beforehand for next week's show. So they're all still working
duty.
Down there. They're all still doing double duty. But I think
Eva Marie just showed up down there. What are you talking about?
Well, when we did the show there, and I was looking at the rosters, and it's interesting because like there are guys like Sin Cara who are on both rosters, the WWE roster, NXT roster. Mm-hmm.
Right, but never wrestles on NXT.
But Kalisto is only on the main roster now. Kevin Owens, I believe, was only on – he might have been on both rosters. I think he was on both rosters.
Right.
Zach Ryder.
I don't think Charlotte's on the NXT roster anymore, like on the website. So it's really weird. Like, I couldn't really tell who they're keeping and who they're going, because if they – put all of those top flight women on the main roster and you keep Kevin Owens on the main roster, Zayn and Itami are injured, man, that's a really weak NXT roster.
Well, not only that, there's a chance that they're going to be taping episodes in Barclays, you know, for the episodes following TakeOver.
No,
so and because the WWE roster will obviously be there for SummerSlam, they might be able to borrow a few guys that might not be on the main roster, like an Adam Rose or maybe.
Oh, they've already advertised the full card. Like,
okay.
Advertised everything they're taping. The matches, like, let me see if I get this from memory. Basically,
there's a four-way women's match. It's Charlotte, Becky, Emma, and. The crappy
I'm talking about surprises, like new developments of like, oh, this one's coming, this one's getting, you know, coming down, and he's going to be wrestling with some guys in the next few weeks. And
no, but I mean, they had a pretty loaded card of like advocates, because Triple H, he tweeted out the old school like wrestling match poster of you know, these are all the matches that are going to be taking place.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's a great point.
I found them, guys.
Yeah.
We have an 8-man tag with Ryder, Raleigh, Amore, and Big Cass versus Wilder, Dawson, Jordan, and Gable. We've got Eva Marie versus Carmella, a fatal 4-way women's match with Emma.
I love
Charlotte.
Carmella, but that ain't gonna work.
Emma versus Charlotte versus Dana Brooke versus Becky Lynch, and then Bull Dempsey versus Elias Sampson. So those are the matches that the site has as announced.
They advertised on NXT this week. They advertised that all those are taking place on NXT next week from Brooklyn.
Okay. So,
call it a guilty pleasure for me. I love Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Oh, I think they're great.
I love the dorkiness. I love the fact that they're amateur, that they like focus on their amateur strengths. I think it's cool.
The thing that's interesting about NXT right now is it really is becoming, now that it's on the radar, it's becoming more like a farm system than it was, you know, in some ways. Because that first year that it was on the network, you really like, you'd have guys get called up occasionally, but it would be very occasional. Now it's really like those guys who are hanging out in the performance center, guys like a Chad Gable or something like that, like, they're getting called up probably before they're ready. And you're going to see a lot of times where NXT, you know, they've got to just keep replenishing because they're sending people up. I mean, the women's division is a perfect example where they will probably have Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky working at least part-time while they're trying to establish, you know, Dana Brooke and Carmella and Alexa Bliss as being the next generation.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be on the same level. They may get there. I mean, they're training constantly. But I think we had like a year and a half where NXT was just consistently top flight. I think what you're going to start seeing is NXT is going to be a lot of peaks and valleys.
I agree there.
Yeah.
They have the bodies to replenish, but do they have the talent to keep it up? That's the problem.
To play devil's advocate to that, though, I feel like we had this conversation maybe a year and a half ago, and then they brought in guys like Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and things like that. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa had a taping. I mean, they might just go out and sign more guys.
That's what I'm talking about, Jordan.
Triple H is really smart.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, Jordan. I think we had the conversation a year ago because there was a period where they were calling up all their main eventers and we were like, oh, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. Then like 3 months later, a Tommy and Balor and Owens came in. I think it's going to be the same thing now where it's like, oh God, like Owens and all these guys, Owens is gone and Zayn and Tommy are injured. But now, all right, UHA Nation's coming in and, you know, Johnny Gargano is coming in. But there's going to be that period in between where you have to wait for them to, you know, basically be in the performance center for a month.
Save us, Chuck Taylor.
Who knows? We might get to December and they bring in, you know, like Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet. Yeah. And all of a sudden we got two more awesome wrestlers there, you know?
Mm-hmm. How about this theory?
By the way, one last thing, Scott.
Yeah.
That list of matches for the TV taping sure looks like a missable episode of NXT.
Yeah, that too.
There's an outside shot that four-way women's match could be good.
And I'm entertained by Bull Dempsey's shtick, so I'll watch.
He's awesome, man. He's like throwback. He reminds me of like a Black Bart in '85.
Yeah, I agree, Will. But Black Bart didn't have Doritos shoved in his fucking tights.
He should have though.
Yeah, he's turned it around, though.
We're short of heels on NXT, and they take a guy that could be a pretty cool, like, old-school territory heel, and they make him into fucking – who's that asshole wrestler that Rotella likes?
Ashton Booger?
Yes, thank you. It's funny, Benny. That's what you came up
with. They have the best heel in the business, Mojo Rawley.
Yep.
No, he's got X-Pac. He just sucks. How about this for a theory? Does Kevin Owens win?
No.
Then Cesaro beats him at SummerSlam. Cesaro shows up on NXT for a couple weeks.
Absolutely not.
Maybe we get Cesaro Zayn again? Cesaro Balor?
No.
Or is that quote an insult to Cesaro?
It's not an insult. I mean, if anybody could go to NXT and work with those guys the same way he did with Sami Zayn, it's Cesaro. That guy can work with anybody.
I don't think Vince would want to risk the injury with Cesaro by making him work extra.
He doesn't
matches.
Even know who the fuck Cesaro is. Please, Reesh.
He knows who he is.
I think he's starting to.
You will never live down that podcast where he said, well, maybe because he's Swiss.
That's bad. And that was so
those fucking two-tone ties.
By the way, I think Balor wins, but if for some reason Owens did win, then I think we'd see Balor on Raw the next night.
Yeah.
That's my prediction there. If he loses the title, he's on Raw the next night.
I think Owens...
Why can't anybody in NXT win the NXT title twice?
Well, that's what I'm about to say.
I'm not discounting you, JD, but I'm just kind of counterpointing that. Well, why does he have to go to Raw? Because he only held the belt once?
Well, here's the can I interrupt here, Scott? Here's the problem: is that you have two companies being spearheaded by two different people. Really, right. NXT is Triple H's baby, WWE is Vince's baby, and they're not always on the same page. I don't think they're working in concert together to you know make both products. You know what I mean? I think that basically, you know, I mean, I've heard stories that Vince has never seen an episode of NXT. You know, like at certain points, and then maybe he'd watch it and like, well, why isn't that guy up on the roster and pull somebody up to the main roster who maybe wasn't ready or whatever.
And to follow up on that, Will, I think when that happens, it's not a conversation. It's Vince saying this is going to happen in Triple H.
Exactly.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah. It's like something's got to be A and something's got to be B. And obviously WWE and Raw is A. So if Vince wants a guy like Neville and he wants him full time, Neville's gone from NXT. Yeah.
The hardest thing was there was all those reports that Vince went to the NXT house show over WrestleMania weekend and was like blown away by so many people there.
It's probably because he never watched the show.
I know, but I don't think it's a coincidence that like within months of that, we didn't just have Neville get called up. We also saw Zayn on Raw. We saw Owens on Raw. And we saw, you know,
all the girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who the hell's moving a hammock?
Sound like I may or may not be eating some Pringles.
I was just going to say, thank you, Bull Dempsey. Jordan Dempsey.
But I will say, I think Owens wins it back to be a two-time champion, and then Balor wins it back in the next special.
When does the belt finally get on Joe's waist?
It never will. Joe's too fat.
Yeah. By the way, Scott, moving a hammock. You know hammocks are like just made of like netting and stuff like that, right?
But and netting can't make noise on a microphone?
No, it can't.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah, it can.
You see what I'm doing right now? I'm putting my finger on the mic.
Sounds like
hammocks aren't made out of fingers, Andrew.
Unless great you're Buffalo Bill.
Great point.
Sick. That's sick.
Happy Will.
So
I just want the finger hammock now. gives a shit about NXT. Where's my finger?
That's like a great episode of Hannibal.
Sounds like the consolation prize on the next Brainbusters. A finger hammock. But yeah. Saros has to say it in the Randy Savage voice. Ooh, yeah. Finger hammock.
That's like a secret
porn. I think it's going to be a great show. I think in ring, I definitely think the Ring of Honor show probably will trump it.
Oh, no question.
However, this also depends on how far, they expect Owens to step on the gas on Saturday night. I mean, I can't see him taking a crazy ladder fall into the ramp while he's got to face Cesaro in what probably will be at least a 12 or 13 minute match on Sunday night, and maybe longer.
Maybe.
So,
I don't know.
This is one guy I can see doing it.
I think Owens can pull it off. I think he could go 25 minutes here and then go 15 minutes the next.
Good. I hope so.
And remember, we're not watching Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor. We're watching Kevin Owens versus the Demon, which is totally different. Because when the Demon shows up, you know you're going to get a great performance.
Here's the thing, man. Their ladder matches really now aren't as brutal as they used to be. You know, they're still ladder matches, but they haven't been the really nasty high spot fest. So I think he can pull it off. I don't know. I don't really think they're going to get that much time at SummerSlam. I think if they go 10 minutes, I'll be happy.
Well, we got what is probably a 3 hour and 50 minute show, not a 2 hour and 50 minute show. So they may have to go a little longer than normal.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
I could easily see
events are really going to go long.
I could easily see Owens, crawling up the ladder, about to grab the belt, and then Joe comes in and pushes the ladder over because he's going to dispatch that slug Byron Corbin in about probably 3.5 minutes.
Or will he?
I do think Joe ends Corbin's streak.
Good.
I don't think they brought Joe in to job to Baron Corbin.
My one problem with the NXT crowd is that they do get a little bit. They get a little bit of that sheep mentality because they loved Corbin for months, and then they immediately turned on him about 3 weeks ago. I mean, they just started booing him out of the building in the next.
Maybe
set
that
of
just means they have good taste.
Well, maybe it's because.
Well, then why were they cheering him?
Well, maybe because after a while they realized Main Event is the official podcast of the NXT universe. Because after listening to us describe him, they took heat and moved on.
You hit on something really good. A good point, though, Andrew, is that this is going to be the first takeover that's not in front of the Full Sail crowd. And if you haven't seen this week's NXT, Kevin Owens cuts an incredible heel promo on the Full Sail crowd after they boo the fact that they're going to Brooklyn. It's amazing. Kevin Owens just rips into them, and it's so like logical. It's basically him saying like, "You guys keep saying you want NXT to grow and expand, but God forbid we do a show in front of anyone but you." It's amazing. But this could be a very different audience.
Yeah, but it's going to be different. It's going to be 13,000 people.
Yeah.
And most of those people you expect to stay through SummerSlam and maybe even that Raw. They're going to be hot because that's going to be their first wrestling action the entire weekend.
Show of hands, verbally, not with your actual hands.
I can't. I'll drop the hammock. So.
Who was legitimately surprised that NXT sold out Barclays? I was surprised. Definitely.
Well, it's not the whole Barclays. It's not the whole building.
They got about 10,000.
Yeah. No,
I thought it was 13,000 legit.
Yeah. No, the WWE machine working with the Barclays machine, I'm not surprised at all that they sold it out.
I don't know why, but I just didn't think they would be able to attract that big of a crowd after only a year and a half of operation.
Nah, it's a Northeast, man. It's a Northeast, yeah. And it's the brand.
And I don't think, Andrew, when you say it's only been a year and a half, I don't think people see it as an NXT show. They see it as a WWE show.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Good point.
And you're in the Northeast. You're in the hotbed.
And I think you'd argue that NXT, the name, is the hottest name that the WWE company has right now.
It's the unique brand that they had been looking for decades.
Well, to be fair, when they run San Antonio next month, they're only running like a 2,000-seat building. So it's not like they're dropping in at the AT&T Center or anything.
Yeah, they did Columbus right before Money in the Bank, and it was like a 1,200-seat arena.
And it's not like they can rest their laurels. I mean, they're competing with Ring of Honor, you know, right behind them in Texas, so... You got to step up. You know,
they're smart though. They're doing the weekends where they know they're in a big market where there's tons of wrestling fans there to see a bunch of different companies. They're being pretty strategic about it.
And not just the market. I mean, SummerSlam's a show people will travel to.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a question. You know what? I'll hold this question off for the second segment because when we talk about the show itself, because I'm curious if they want to make chew on this and then we'll take a break and come back. If this goes well, which we know it will, WWE rarely lets anything fail in this capacity. Will they ditch the whole SummerSlam has to be in LA every year? If they have a deal with Staples, they could stick a different secondary show every year, you know, Fastlane or Nat of Champions or some crap like that. And maybe start treating SummerSlam like WrestleMania on a half scale and move it around. Instead of just going back to LA next year, like everybody thinks they will. Chew on that.
I thought that was actually the plan, was to now make it like mini Mania.
Right. But
like not just for this year. Like I thought it was supposed to be like the plan moving forward.
Right, Will. But are they going to do mini Mania in LA every August now, or are they going to move it around?
Or are they going to have people bid on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Get cities to pitch in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chew on that. Let's take a break. When we come back.
Hold on. Before we take a break, come on, man. I got to do this because I did it with my buddies the other night. Now I want a show of hands verbally. No finger hammocks. All right. And we'll start with a reach. If you had to buy a ticket, sight unseen, ROH or NXT, which one are you buying?
NXT because of the main event.
No. Sight unseen. Like you don't know the card. You just know ROH or NXT is coming to town.
Oh, you had to throw that in there. Ring of Honor.
Morse.
NXT because I've never been to an NXT show and I've been to a Ring of Honor show, so I'd want the novelty. Yeah.
Fair enough. Jordan? Yep.
I think I'd go with ROH because the NXT roster right now is, you know, if Sami Zayn was active, I think that might sway me.
Okay, and Scott?
I'd probably go on NXT because I'd have got him for free. I'll explain why during the break. When we come back, we will dive into SummerSlam, the card itself, the main event, whatever match it may be, and get everybody's thoughts on has this card been pumped up enough? People are 50-50 on it. More main event after the break.
Really?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, Our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network. That's the Pro Wrestling Only, Place to Be Nation, Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back, please, to the newest episode of the Main Event. I'm Scott Criscolo, Ben Morse, Andrew Reese, Jordan Duncan, and Will from Texas joining us tonight for our big SummerSlam weekend preview. We've already gone over Saturday night's Ring of Honor and NXT shows. We will dive into the big show in a moment. PlacementNation.com, though, your home for everything pop culture. Wow. SummerSlam week on the website. We'll break it down for you. Aaron George has had his four-part scientific ranking of SummerSlams. He's broken down. He watched all the SummerSlams and ranked every match via a scientific formula, four parts.
Great read.
A fantastic read.
Yeah.
Place to Be Nation staff is ranking the top 40 SummerSlam matches. At the moment, the most recent one is numbers 30 to 21. So there's still, what, 20 to 1. To 11, and then 11 to...
number 0.
Yeah. 10 to 1. I was involved in that one. I got to already write about I already wrote about Hunter Helmsley against Mankind in the Steel Cage match in 97. And I already wrote about Undertaker Austin from 98. So some fun things there. And you get to see who ranked what where. It's all very interesting.
Yeah, no, so check it out. So they've got probably two more parts to go. Will, you've been on the mic a lot this week. Tell us all the podcasts you have done and are going to do for SummerSlam week.
All right, so we started off with SummerSlam, the best one of all time. And it was a fairly controversial choice, I guess, but I thought I liked this show. Then we did ROH versus NXT with my buddy Dylan, and I think Chris Zellner was on that show. And then we're doing, what else did we do? We did SummerSlam versus Great American Bash, did a little comparison of the first 10 shows. Got the main event tonight. Did the Dangerous Alliance podcast with JR last night. We've got Mr. SummerSlam coming up with you, JR, and Johnny Sorrow. We've got Building the Perfect SummerSlam with my Canadian buddies, Stephen Graham and Dave Musgrave. NXT TakeOver reaction show, SummerSlam reaction show. And after that, man, besides Dangerous Alliance and the reaction shows, I'm going in the cave for a few months, man. Summertime's over, man. Got to get back to my real job, and that's it, man. Actually, maybe when NBA season starts, I'm going to bug Reesh over here, and we're going to do some NBA shows because I am chomping at the bit for some NBA. So
yeah, well, the Spurs are going to suck, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to be any good.
Did you mention SummerSlam versus the Bash?
I did. Yep, you did. I did. Okay. No, man, it's eight shows, eight nights, man, plus the Dangerous Alliance show on top of that. Because I'm lumping this main event as part of the celebration week, man.
Definitely.
It's like an advent calendar.
Also, out of the blue, Chad and Parv, where the big boys play. They did Wrestle War 92, which is one of my favorite shows, actually.
Yeah, I just watched that.
My favorite WCW show. Well, Beach Blast, and that one's right behind.
Super Brawl 2 is pretty awesome, too.
Yeah.
Actually, the first, five pay-per-views of... Actually, pretty much the entire...
Everything from the Bill Watts era is...
Maybe except Starrcade that year. I was always 50-50 on Starrcade, but pretty much every pay-per-view in 1992
was
pretty
awesome.
That
was a battle
awesome.
Bowl year, so...
Yeah. I think every pay-per-view in 1992 in WWE.
Yeah, I'm in the midst of 92 right now, Scott. So yeah,
remember a lot of that great stuff was Kip Fry before.
Yep.
Bill
oh Watts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think arguably,
and then Watts came in the summer. I think
arguably
yeah,
1992.
Super Bowl was Kip Fry.
1992 arguably might be one of the best pay-per-view years of wrestling period because the four shows in 92 and WWF were all very good as well. So anyway, so Chad and Parv were the big boys play. They did Wrestle War 92. New episode of Richard and the Mailman up. JR and I, our most recent Place to Be podcast, we did New Year's Revolution 2005, so check that out as well. And we will have a main event next week. We'll decide who's on. If you gentlemen want to return Core 4, maybe we'll get the Doctor on and maybe some other guys from the weekend and get our opinions of Ring of Honor and the big show. So that'll be next week. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right. We went over Saturday night. And now it is time to go over Sunday night. SummerSlam 2015 from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Pretty good card, actually. A lot of people seem to be pumped about it. Others aren't.
Scott, can I interrupt you for a second?
Of course. Well, you always do.
To do that. Who is not pumped for this card, man? I am the biggest WWE critic, and I am hyped for this show. I'm like, is anyone here not hyped for this show?
No, definitely hyped.
I mean, it's, and I think
I'm getting hyped, but I'm not staying hyped.
Oh, I'm gonna stay hyped.
Yeah, man, I'm like Mojo Rawley stained hype right now, man.
I should have
like,
called out sick. All right, here is our card. We'll start from, I don't say the bottom, but this is the list we have. Dolph Ziggler taking on Rusev.
Ziggler.
Team Bella versus Team Bad versus Team PCB in a three-team elimination match. That should eat up a good amount of time.
Kevin, yeah, you know what? What bums me out about that match is it's one of those things where when one member of the team's pinned, the whole team's eliminated.
Right.
So it's not like eight eliminations like I thought. I thought that could have been really cool if they did it that way.
Unlike Survivor Series last year where one girl got pinned and then the match kept going and the whole crowd went, oh no!
that's because it wasn't any of these girls, that's why.
We've come a long way.
Yeah,
yeah right.
Kevin Owens will take on Cesaro. Stephen Amell, a.k.a. Arrow. Ben Moore's not allowed to watch this match. And Neville will take on Stardust and King Barrett. I'm kind of digging that match, actually.
I'm excited.
We got a four-way for the tag team titles. Primetime Players will defend the straps against Los Matadores, Lucha Dragons, and The New Day. We got a tag team match. Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper taking on Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Ryback will defend his Intercontinental Championship in a triple threat against Big Show and The Miz. Another match I'm sickeningly looking forward to. Title versus title. John Cena versus Seth Rollins. U.S. versus World. Randy Orton will take on Sheamus. And then probably the main event, Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. Let's talk about Kevin Owens for a minute. Ben, is he bulletproof? Are either of these guys bulletproof? Does a loss hurt either of them?
I don't think either guy is bulletproof. I personally, and this may surprise some people who have listened to me on this show before, I think Owens should have gone over Cena last month.
I think everybody thinks that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm usually the guy who says, no, it's...
Well, a lot of people think that match shouldn't have even happened.
Yeah.
But...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think Owens, another loss definitely hurts him because then he's not the hot new heel on the block anymore. He's just another mid-card heel. And
he's looking at a Dean Ambrose record on pay-per-view, too, after that.
Yeah. And then Cesaro is in a weird position where I don't think Cesaro is an anomaly for WWE right now because they had him safely ensconced in a tag team with Tyson Kidd where he was doing well. Tyson Kidd got hurt, and then they basically just plugged him in randomly, and he got back to the levels of over he was back around WrestleMania 30. So... Now they're stuck with they're fortunate to have both of these guys who are tremendous, and it's going to be a great match. But I don't think either of them can really afford loss. I think Cesaro can afford the loss a little more, just because Owens can cheat. Owens, I think they really need to protect. So if I'm booking this one, I'm putting Owens over in a competitive match. I think Cesaro has proven that he can stay over. I think the key here is just how much time they get. Mm-hmm. Because on, granted, it's a 4-hour card, but it's a lot of matches. If they go out there and do a 5-minute match and Cesaro loses, I think he's in trouble. If they get, even 10 minutes and it's a competitive back and forth and Cesaro loses, he could be okay.
What do you think, Rish?
To add to Ben's point about the time filler, we also have Jon Stewart doing like hosting duties.
Right.
After being done with the Daily Show. So I don't know how many segments they're going to place him in. It's a nice little thing. Jon Stewart did a pretty good job on the Raw he was in earlier this year. But I agree with him that neither guy is untouchable. They could both be hurt by losing streaks. I do think, however, Cesaro is sort of in the position with like Daniel Bryan was in. Not saying he's going to explode like he did in 2013, but he's in that position where he was saying, you remember when they broke up Team Hell No and he was saying, I'm not the weak link? And he would take losses. Like he lost on pay-per-view, I think, every match until he won the title against Cena at SummerSlam. Right. And it was not that... It wasn't like Daniel Bryan was untouchable at that point. It was that the momentum was snowballing so well for him that a loss wasn't going to kill his stride. And I feel like Cesaro's in that position where taking a loss versus a guy like Owens who might need to build back up a tad after preeminently losing out in the feud with John Cena with the rubber match and all, which a lot of people, like you said, disagreed with, that Owens might be able to take that win and build more off of it, for his mid-card status than, Cesaro, because Cesaro can take that loss and then they can go back and forth and have a feud with one another. I'm just looking forward to the match. I think, I don't know how much time they're going to get. I think they might get more time on a Raw show where they can go 20 or, maybe even 25 minutes if they give them like commercial breaks. But I think they can really do some really neat stuff here.
Will, could we see any kind of NXT cross-promoting here? Because Cesaro, I guess the guy that's on my mind right now is Sami Zayn, who is close to healthy, I would think. But he's got history with both these guys. Could he get involved here?
If he's healthy. Only if he's healthy. I haven't heard anything
that he's coming
back.
He said in an interview he won't be back till October.
Yeah,
I'm not saying get in the match, but if he,
No, but if he's not healthy, if he's not going to screw him over injured, you know, usually they don't do that. I mean, WWE is fairly predictable that they don't bring back guys until they're healed, you know, to reintroduce them. That's not going to happen. I agree that Cesaro can take the pin because they haven't really respected him up to this point anyway.
Right.
Oh, and they do this a lot. I mean, they pair guys up with each other at times when neither guy can really afford the loss. Absolutely. That's kind of one of my biggest criticisms of WWE.
I don't even think that's the only match on this card where that's
We're going to get into it. No. Yeah. But they do it a lot where, you know, this mentality, man, and I will go to my grave arguing wins and losses matter. You know, I mean, it matters in the perception of the casual fans. It matters in terms of how people perceive you. You know, I mean, it's we know it's fake. We know it's scripted. But we don't want to feel that way when we're watching it, you know. And when you pin a guy like Cesaro after momentum, or you get a Daniel Bryan out of the Royal Rumble after 10 minutes, you know, in the middle of the Rumble, people feel ripped off by that, you know, because they want to cheer their guy. And, you know, WWE has such a great roster that I think they do a disservice to these guys. And so I'm looking forward to the match like you guys. I mean, I think the booking for this show, the build has actually been really good. And I do not say that about a lot of WWE shows, man. I'm usually very critical of their booking, so much so that I stopped watching their TV because the booking was interfering with my enjoyment of good matches.
Yeah.
You know, I call it Johnny Ignorant, you know.
I did that for a while too.
I'm just going to be ignorant and enjoy the matches because who cares about these guys? Because the guys I'm emotionally invested in, they shit all over. They did it with Punk. They did it with Brian. And man, if Cesaro goes, because there's been rumblings that Cesaro might leave when his contract's up. If he goes, I don't know, man. Like, there's not a lot of people left that I'm super excited about that I can cheer on a personal, emotional level, you know?
Yeah. What I will say is that they've done a good job of padding Cesaro a bit going into this match.
Sure.
Like, he's looked really good on TV. Like, he's looked good against Rollins, and he's gotten to celebrate like in a six man with Cena and Orton, which is a bigger deal than you think. Like, just getting to stand in the
That three way he had with Orton and Owens. Oh my God! Yeah. I was watching.
He looks good.
I was watching Cesaro. I was like, he's got it. Like, he's finally figured it out.
But didn't he ultimately eat the RKO on that one?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think he was necessarily well protected there, but I think he's been well protected enough that I think. I think Owens can't lose here. It's not even about like, oh, Cesaro needs to win. Owens can't lose. Another loss here kills Owens.
Look what they did with Neville. They had Neville win his first match. Then he loses like the next two or three televised matches. And then I think he traded wins back and forth with Barrett for a while, right? Like, that's not how you debut somebody. You debut somebody like you did Rusev. And you have a guy win a bunch of matches, and lo and behold, Rusev gets over. It wasn't because Rusev's a super worker. It's because they pushed him the right way.
Wins and losses matter, but wins and losses don't always equal the same thing.
Absolutely.
Like Neville lost against Seth Rollins, but he almost won, you know, and that really
agreed.
And that mattered to your point. You know?
It matters, except then when you start trading 5-minute matches with Barrett, or Stardust. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh wow, he almost took Rollins to the limit, but then you take him away from the big dogs and put him in there with like Barrett. Like, he just wins King of the Ring,
and that goes back to the content.
And then does
we need content. Yeah.
You know, then he goes and does that long feud with R-Truth, and it's like, dude, I enjoy R-Truth as like a guilty pleasure, but nobody wants to fucking see R-Truth, and nobody expects R-Truth to win. He should be the Brooklyn Brawler of 2015. He's had a good career. He's had his run. Put people over. That's your job. Sorry about that, Scott.
Maybe the Brooklyn Brawler should be at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn.
Yeah, why not? That should be
Brooklyn
shirt.
Where's Scott at?
Are we done? Okay.
So anyways, what I was thinking is, I would just reiterate, Kevin Owens needs to win way more than Cesaro does.
I think I agree with that.
Yep.
Let's talk about this Wyatt Harper against Reigns Ambrose.
Very interested.
I think it's a setup for Reigns to get a, because nobody cares if Ambrose wins or loses. He's like Piper now. I think Reigns is continuing his rehabilitation. I think he pins Luke Harper. I think that's pretty cut and dry here. I don't think Wyatt. That's another guy who probably could not need another pinfall loss. I think Reigns pins Harper here, and I think it's gonna be a fun, stiff shit show. But an entertaining
shit show.
One.
Oh no, I think this match of the I'm calling this right now match of the night.
Right, but you guys are misinterpreting the word shit show. I'm not saying
like a Nasty Boys Cactus Jack Max Payne.
Exactly. It's going to be like Brainbusters against Heart Foundation at SummerSlam 89. There's going to be like controlled chaos. That's what I mean.
This is two-thirds of those great six-man tags we had a couple years ago with Shield versus the Wyatts, and you've lost Eric Rowan, arguably the weakest link of the Wyatts, and it loses something to lose Seth Rollins because I think he held a lot of the matches together, but I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to this match.
Just one quick comment. I think this is going to remind people how much they love those Shield Wyatt matches and why they should have never broken them up in the first place.
Yep.
They might go in all out war mode, like you said.
Yeah, I do not see the Shield boys taking the win here, though. I think something's brewing with the Wyatts. I think they have a plan for the Wyatts. I think either we get a new member here.
I think too.
Can I be the cynic here?
Yeah.
I think this is a setup because they're waiting for Rowan to get back from injury, and when he comes back, then they bring in Sting.
Yeah, I know everyone's been talking about that.
I think that's what it is.
I think we could see a new Wyatt here, though. I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, it's going to be a swerve. Ambrose is going to turn. Reigns is going to turn. I don't think either of them's turning. I just think they'll get a new member. And I know that they've been talking about forever putting Bo Dallas in the group, which I think would be phenomenal. Do it. Go for it. He's
he
obviously
should be exactly – the thing about Bo is that he should be exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. No,
he should
be,
like, I would – quiet.
No, I think they should have him try to grow a beard, but he can't.
Well, that would be awesome. That's been the last year.
I think IRS should come out and be the group's Uncle Jesse kind of guy, you know? Like,
I love it. I think that, you know, Sami Zayn would make a great member kind of to replace Seth Rollins as kind of like the newest member of the Shield. He could seamlessly fit into that Seth Rollins kind of a high flyer role, you know?
Hmm.
I think one thing that speaks positively about the show, too, we're talking about the second match right now, and both matches, to me, it's really conceivable either outcome could happen, which I always think makes the show more entertaining going into it. You know, when you look at the card and say, well, this person could win. There's not a lot of matches on the show where you're like, okay, this is clearly what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few matches, I think, like that.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's talk about
The Arrow.
The Arrow. Well, that match is just, I don't see anything.
That's one of the ones that the outcome is, you know what's going
to
happen.
I'm so looking forward to it, man.
Yeah,
I'm
totally
so
fine.
Curious about it. Because
it depends on your celebrity level of athleticism. Like, you know,
I'm just so curious to see how, if he's any good, because sometimes a celebrity comes in and it's like, you know, if it's like Jay Leno wrestling, you know, like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. But This guy's a wild card. I mean, he's in great shape. He's a super fan, which makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he did his segment where he jumped the rails and went in the ring the other week, it was miles above most celebrity involvement. So
he did like the Brock jump.
Yeah.
He looked more energetic and more enthused than three-fourths of the regular roster.
Oh, yeah. He loves wrestling.
I'm very intrigued to see this match. So
not like Snooki where she just got a payday to do a backflip.
Yeah.
Like Steve Amell loves pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
The only thing that disappointed me was the voice. Because you watch Arrow and it's gravely
right.
So intense. And then when he's yelling at Triple A, he's like, I want the match.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the question is, does he come out dressed as Green Arrow?
Yes.
No, does Wade Barrett dress as Ra's al Ghul? Because he got that crazy looking thing on that weird vignette with Stardust where there
was. The vignette was
like,
so weird.
The cosmic cape.
What was that thing?
It was a cosmic cape.
Because he's the Lord of Darkness.
Yeah. Come on, Reese, pay attention.
It has to be better than the King Barrett.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's been a few weeks.
Ever since he's worn that crown, man, that guy.
Bad luck.
It's been nuts.
That crown does not give anyone.
That should be his new gimmick.
Bad crown Barrett.
No, bad luck Barrett.
Bad luck Barrett.
You know what's been really cool about this feud, though, that's so different from WWE is they've done it differently, and they're so hesitant to move away from their formula. Just like the cartoony comic. Mm-hmm. Previews they show for this stuff. It's so different that it's, I mean, they showed fan art, like stuff that people drew, like nobody in the company showed stuff that fans are drawing and put it on the screen and stuff. I just think it's really unique how they built this one up.
And once again, credit to Cody Rhodes for throwing himself 200% into whatever ridiculous thing he needs to do.
Like, yeah, especially coming off, you know, obviously the death of his father.
Yeah.
You know, he could have mourned and then just gone back to just being Cody, but he jumped right back into Stardust.
Yeah,
because his father would have got to keep the gimmick, baby.
Yep.
Didn't do it like Chavo did because Stardust is 10 times better than Kerwin White. So, I'm looking forward to that too. I think the crowd's going to enjoy it. I think it'll be neat. I think we'll get good lights and a cool entrance kind of thing. And I think Diggs will be there, and I think it'll be cool. Hope Felicity's there. She's cute. all right. Even this, I know she's Canadian, but she's still cute. All right, Intercontinental title. I think Ryback's going to retain because no one cares about either of the other two guys.
Wait, this match has Miz and the Big Show?
Yeah.
I gotta go, guys. See you later.
I think Ryback successfully retains his championship. One belt I don't think will be successfully retained is the tag team titles.
Agreed.
I like Lucha Dragons.
I do too. Oh, no, wow.
If anyone gets it, it'll be New Day.
I think, that's the thing, Will. I think New Day is
the sun set
one.
On that day.
I think New Day.
Not yet.
I think New Day still has steam left in them.
They're not hot, but they're warm.
But I think they're the ones everyone is assuming is going to win here. And I think, you know, WWE, if they're going to have a four-way match, I think they're gonna zig where people are going to zag. I got the same feeling, Scott. I think they go to Lucha Dragons, and then they go right into a New Day Lucha Dragons feud. And I love the Lucha Dragons, so I'm going to be rooting for them.
Yes, and I think that'd be a good feud, too.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any other teams? Does Will, you think New Day wins them back?
I think either the title's retained or New Day retains, yeah.
Okay.
I just think that even though I like the Lucha Dragons, I'm rooting for them. But I think the other teams are just hotter right now. And we know the Matadors aren't going to win. Mm.
What do you think, JD? Yes.
That's the one thing we can all agree on.
I think New Day's going to win, and part of it is because you look at like every other tag team on the roster, it's all babyface teams, and then New Day's the only heel team.
Point.
You know?
Yeah, except for the Wyatts, I guess, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they're going that direction with them.
There was this team that reminded me of the Road Warriors, but I forget what happened to them.
Yeah, they were on Swerved recently.
the problem is they didn't remind me of the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
I don't think they remind me of what the Road Warriors weren't. You know,
yeah. They were better than the Road Warriors. Just ask them.
Oh,
just
no.
Ask them. They are the stars of Swerved, though. That's a good point, Jordan.
Yeah.
Them and Fandango are the breakout stars of that show.
And Tom Phillips.
Great on Swerved.
I've only watched the first episode where they had the zap stools and the poopy mic. That was the only episode I've seen so far.
The old lady flashing the Los Matadores was making me laugh my ass
off. But she flashed Kane. Didn't she flash Kane?
Oh,
too?
Yeah,
she flashed
Kane.
A bunch of people.
Okay.
No, what happened is he had one of the Matadores sign her boob.
Yep.
And the agent for WWE is like, no, because she has no idea what's going on. It was... That Swerved is pretty funny. Of all the originals, that's probably my favorite one.
Yes.
You know what I like about Swerved is it kind of shows it reveals their real character.
Yeah,
like when they got locked out of the building, like you could kind of tell who's a dick and who's not.
Yep.
You know, you're like,
yep.
Rollins went after that security guard.
Dude, all he had to do was get on his cell phone and say, hey, get so-and-so down here. You know, I got an issue. He said, no problem, man. You're just doing your job. You know, instead of just like, big leaguing them, you know,
yeah.
or the way that Truth treated that guy who had the fake bloody hand.
Yes!
Like
the guy's hand is destroyed and Truth doesn't even care. He's like, get away from me.
Yeah.
And also, the one where Xavier Woods from New Day, when he plays the video games with the different WWE stars, there was one with Rollins, and Rollins is making like the funniest faces trying to kill all these people on the video game. So,
also, just the sheer glee Dolph Ziggler clearly has on Swerve is like the. There's nothing he has enjoyed in his life more than being on this show.
I lost my train of thought. I swerved myself.
We swerved.
You wanted to say Sheamus versus Orton.
Yes, you're right, Will. I actually did. Curious to why they didn't put the briefcase up in this match.
That'd be too interesting.
I think give us a reason to want to see this match.
I'm so upset. I like both these guys a lot. I want this match to be good.
Why would you give Randy Orton a suitcase again? We all know what happened last time.
Yeah, that
Scott.
Was rough. Why do I care what either of you think?
It's going to be the WrestleMania ending. Orton's going to pin Sheamus. Sheamus is going to cash in on the title. That's my own prediction.
Oh, I just realized it. This is the same building where they had that horrible promo after WrestleMania 29. We might see it all over.
Maybe that's why they put them back together, because they have such great history.
No, they didn't. First off, Riche, I don't really care what you think about what happened at that SummerSlam. Number two, they were at IZOD, not Barclays.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I missed it.
Stick with your own little parish, okay, Riche?
R.I.P. IZOD.
That's where this SummerSlam was supposed to be.
Yep, initially.
Maybe they could still have it there.
No, because it's a hole in the ground now.
We're having ROH in a baseball field.
They could at least have Orton Sheamus there.
If you're going to take your cynic pills, you're staying home next time.
They should have Orton and Sheamus on the USS Intrepid, but not tape it.
Like Ben said, it should be Orton and Sheamus in the IZOD brawl.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? On a side note, in 90, speaking of silly named gimmicks, when I was watching all the WCW pay-per-views in chronological order, and I still have three left, 96, when Benoit was feuding with Kevin Sullivan, every pay-per-view in a different city...
Was that city street fight.
Yeah. And I had Rotella sitting behind me at work, and he looks at me and goes, who would get scared over a San Francisco street fight?
Well, they got those trolley cars there.
They're going to get burritos thrown at them from the whatever Fiesta. I forgot, Scott, I would think
as a Republican, you'd be very scared of a San Francisco street fight.
Well, it depends.
Oh my god!
Wow. You just painted me into a corner, Ben. You know, making fun of New Japan is one thing, but you really painted me into a corner there. My god.
Donald Trump, 2016.
I'm just joking.
Oh fuck!
I'm voting for D's nuts.
He already won.
You know, I really didn't want to do that. I really was 50-50 about even doing this show tonight, and now I know why. Let's talk more about Orton and Sheamus. Since you all pissed me off, we are going to keep talking about Orton and Sheamus.
Okay.
Orton won at Battleground.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sheamus probably will win here. I don't think he cashes in. In fact, I don't think he even keeps a briefcase. I have a theory about the briefcase that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Really?
Well, I have one too. Oh, okay. I know it's going to happen, but it's my dream scenario.
I think that they've been very cliche in their booking to this point. Usually, if like the big surprise was Rollins at Mania, because normally they're cashing the briefcase in. I think that's the perfect way for John Cena to win his 16th title. You know, and then they can put the title on Sheamus. But Cena's able to keep the U.S. title because he's not going to cash in for both titles, and he continues his U.S. run, and then maybe Triple H aligns with Sheamus as like the new face of the corporation or
and
whatever.
Let's take a question that we had in a previous match. Is Sheamus untouchable? Can he afford a loss? Because he's been dropping quite a few matches even though he has the briefcase.
Well, that's what everyone with the...
Everybody drops matches, but I have a feeling... I'll just say this now then since we're on the subject of it. I have a feeling at Night of Champions... You are going to see a four-way match for the briefcase, and Sheamus loses it without getting pinned. I don't think he keeps a briefcase. I think they just did him.
I don't like that at all, man.
I think
I hate that.
Look, I explain why I don't like it is because it devalues the whole point of the Money in the Bank, which is you earn the briefcase. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, they did it. They did it with Cena and Ziggler at TLC 12. It's not.
They did it with Kennedy and Edge, I think, a long time ago.
I hate the idea.
And I hated
they did it with Kennedy and Edge because Kennedy was hurt.
Well, yeah. He thought he was going to be out for God knows how long, and he
came back like 3 weeks later, though.
Exactly.
Well, it's just, yeah. I think at that point,
to me, Sheamus having the briefcase feel it smacks of they didn't have a plan on who they wanted to give it to.
Well, let's shock everyone and not give it to Roman. That's what
That's
what I agree with Will, though. That's what I hate about it. You know, when you win the briefcase, you're the chosen one. You're going to win the championship. And for them to say, okay, well, we don't want you to win the championship, so we're just going to give this briefcase to this guy, I don't like that, you know? Yeah.
Was Rusev hurt when Money in the Bank took place? Yeah, I still to this day think Rusev was supposed to win Money in the Bank and Sheamus was the backup plan.
And Sheamus was the IC champ, I think, in their plans.
I agree. Mm.
Rusev would have been awesome with that
briefcase. I think Rusev should have the briefcase right now, and his injury screwed it over. And that's why I don't see Sheamus cashing in anytime soon, because I think they're still trying to figure out, okay, we've got this guy, he's got the briefcase, what's our long-term plan for him? So I don't think 2 months later he's going to cash in.
I think you go full attitude there and just have him lose the match the next night. I mean, he's already been world champion, so it's not like people are shocked. It's not like Rollins where he has to kind of hold the belt for a while because he's never been champ. He's already been champ, been there, done that. If he loses it in a week or a night, no one's going to care, you know?
Yeah. So I
don't feel that bad about him winning the title and losing it quick. Yeah.
Well, Sheamus in general is in a weird position for me, because like as a face, I loved his wrestling, but his character bored me. Now as a heel, I like his character, but his wrestling bores me. You know, it's one of those take the good with the bad.
Part of that is because he always gets Randy Orton, though. I mean, get him away from Randy Orton, and that'll probably improve greatly.
Yeah, he was having some good matches.
I watched a lot of Dolph Ziggler matches. I didn't care much.
And his greatest dance partner, Daniel Bryan, is not wrestling. Sure. You know, I mean, man, Daniel Bryan was so great.
once ZZ wins tough enough, he can come in and face Sheamus.
Oh, God, I'm so not looking forward to that.
None of them are ever going to see the inside of a WWE arena.
So what about Rusev Ziggler, Scott? I mean,
I think it's going to be a fun match.
I think it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be a fun match.
I'm surprised it's a single and not a mixed tag.
I'm disappointed it's a singles and not a mixed tag, because I think that could have been a real cool
novelty.
You're
disappointed that Summer Rae's not going to wrestle?
Lana, who's never had a professional match on TV?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if they knew this is where they wanted to go, they could have had Lana training for the last few months. They don't need to be in there for a long time. I just feel like on a card that's so long, it would have been cool to have something to make it a novelty, you know?
I think that's where the arrow comes in.
But that match has a novelty, but I'm saying I think more matches on this card need to have, like, a lot of the singles matches. It would be cool to have novelties. I don't know. I like the idea of it.
Here's what's going to happen, and Scott's going to appreciate this reference. Basically, Rusev and Ziggler are going to have a fun match, and in the middle, it's going to be like Missy Hyatt and Sunshine in the middle of the ring.
I got that one. Have
those two girls rolling around, you know, like maybe do a few ECW shots. Mm-hmm. You know, that might make some people uncomfortable.
And speaking to Ben's point, they are in a position with Dolph and Rusev and with Owens and Cesaro and maybe the tag matches where they don't have to blow things off at SummerSlam, even though it might be an important event for them. You can trail that off for one pay-per-view and then the next pay-per-view. So if you want to, like, throw some gimmick on it, that's okay, you know? As long as you don't stink up the joint.
Well, that's what I'm surprised it's not a mixed tag, because then you can have Lana pin Summer Rae and neither of the guys, Rusev doesn't lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Rusev's another guy who can't lose.
Yeah. And I think he's going to.
I agree with that 100%.
Rusev
cannot lose right now.
Oh, I think Rusev will win it. As excited as I was to see Dolph Ziggler run out with his ridiculous jean jacket, because
that was pretty ridiculous.
That is like My favorite.
My jacket, man. Poison and Slayer's stickers on the same jacket.
The jackets he's wearing, like, I thought I couldn't love Dolph Ziggler anymore, but those jean jackets have just, like, put him to a whole nother level. And also, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when he came out on Monday, he must have, like, 30 seconds before he ran out, realized, like, oh, crap, I didn't spray tan, because he only spray tanned the front of his body. The entire back of his body is white, but...
And also... The blonde is almost 100% gone.
It's almost gone, but I don't think he's winning.
But that's when you know a wrestler's great, where fashion doesn't even matter. Like when CM Punk shaved his head, it's like, oh, he's still awesome.
Yeah,
you know.
You know who had the worst spray tan on Monday was Becky Lynch by far. She looked straight up Hulk Hogan orange that night. It was disturbing.
Yeah, but I don't think Rusev can lose, and I don't think Rusev will lose. I think Ziggler. He's Ziggler. He always loses.
Do you think that maybe his spray tan only on the front is like part of his gimmick because he's been in a hospital bed so he couldn't spray tan his back?
Wow.
And he's got theory, the bed sores.
That'd be awesome if he had like a neck brace shaped white spot.
That's the next match. Rusev versus bed sores.
He's just lying there on the bed and he insists that the nurse spray tan him. Like, whatever you could do, I understand. I can't turn around.
Probably told him it was... like one of those like pain sprays.
I was disappointed Rusev didn't have an atrophied leg after he was wearing those crutches at the time. I wanted him to have like one leg like Paul Orndorff when he had that one skinny arm hanging out.
Is adding the U.S. title to the Cena Rollins match affected in any way? If it was just Rollins, if Cena was just going after the world title and the U.S. title was not involved, would it make you think differently about who you wanted to win this match?
I think it just telegraphs the fact that it's going to be a schmoz ending. Because I don't think either of these guys is walking out with both belts.
Oh, I agree with you, but I think Cena wins the match in the middle of the ring.
Well, really? I think the match is now a little more important in your mind because of how Cena has built the U.S. belt up. And he alone has done that, and good job by him. But I agree with Ben. I think that means that the match, when they actually unify the belts, will be more important down the road if they decide not to do it here.
Well, I also think the thing for the last years is Night of Champions has become an important pay-per-view for them because they need to boost buy rates on the network because that's around the end of the quarter.
Yeah, and football's coming up. Yeah.
and I think the same way we got the Brock Cena rematch last year, I think we'll see another Rollins Cena match.
Important note: this is not going to be the last match. So if you want to do something kind of like you said, schmozzy, then you can get away with it. You just like I said again, you just don't want to stink out the joint. Yeah. You know?
I think so.
I mean, it'll be a good match. These guys are both.
Yeah, but you don't want a bad ending to leave you sour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I think that's why Sheamus cashing in, because they're still gonna Brock Taker's gonna be the main event.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So they can do instead of having a bad taste in your mouth at the end of the main event, once Brock versus Taker happens, no one's going to care that Sheamus just stole the belt. You know what I mean? It's going to be, plus you'll probably have that women's nine-man tag in between the two matches anyway. So I don't know. I that's my shot, man. I'm calling it. Sheamus walks out with the world title. Mm-hmm. Cena retains U.S. I don't want to see it happen, but I think that's kind of the SummerSlam thing that they do now. So,
do you ever come up with like your own booking idea that you want to happen, and then you get disappointed when it doesn't happen?
I book both ways: what I want to happen and what I think will happen.
Because here's what I want to happen. I want, you know, based off the promo that Cena did on Monday, it was a really good promo.
Yeah,
he's talking about building statues, or Rollins said he wants a statue built, and the authority's just staring at it, let it all happen. I want Sheamus to come out with the briefcase. I want Orton to come out and chase him down. And then I want Orton to RKO Rollins, and I want Sheamus to hand the briefcase to Cena, and those three guys are the authority moving forward. And I want the heel turn to happen, finally.
Oh, man, the heel turn. Wow.
I know it's never going to.
I've been holding out for a hero.
Yeah. I've been holding out since 2011 in the summer of Punk, man.
But man, it would be a perfect one now.
The other thing I worry about with Cena and Rollins is that we did get a pretty good dose of that like about 8 months ago. So I know they had a great match before, you know, even with the broken nose, they were still having a great match.
Oh, yeah.
But what kind of match can they have is, you know, if they really go Broadway, if they go like 30 minutes and there's a definitive winner. Like, what can we really see here?
Well, also keep in mind, we're talking about summer of 2015, John Cena, who's basically a Ring of Honor wrestler. You know, he's basically going out and having indie matches. So this is like, this is basically Tyler Black against John Cena. So I think it's going to be very different than some of their other matches we've seen. Just, I really think the Kevin Owens feud has changed John Cena in a way that no other feud has changed John Cena in years. His in-ring style.
Are you saying he's upped his game?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kevin Owens motivated him so much. I think the open challenges were like the start, just going out there and, you know, working with guys like Neville and Zayn. But I think those matches with Owens just challenged him to step his game up so much. And Rollins is a guy who, if Cena's going to go next level, Rollins will go next level. I think it's going to be a great match.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's what Cena does, right? Because same thing with Punk. We didn't know, like, every match he had with Punk was great.
Was
whether
amazing.
It was on TV or the pay-per-view.
And the key is, when he
and Bryan, too, his Daniel Bryan match was awesome. Those ROH guys, he does. It's like, okay, I got a dance partner I can go with.
And the key is, too, with Cena and Punk is that they had the great match in 2011, but when they feuded again a year later, the matches were very different, you know? So
it's not,
even though Cena's still the face and Rollins still the heel, I mean, even on Raw, I could tell the match was a little different, that Rollins had figured it out a little bit better as a main event guy. I just really wish they could have that one great match, you know? Cena Orton really never got to that point. You know, I hope that Rollins can do that with Cena.
Yeah, well, but I think Will and JD just both make great points about, like, Cena raises his game with these ROH guys. And Orton, Cena's at his worst when he's wrestling WWE system guys. When he's wrestling guys who came up with him, like, through OVW. Like, him and Batista never had a classic match.
He settles.
Exactly. And they just have the matches they used to have in OVW. But Cena's a guy,
King's
he's ambitious.
Matches were horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's ambitious, I think, and I think when he has a guy in there who can challenge him, he ups his game.
Well, look at like even that first Brock Lesnar masterpiece. Sure. I mean, that was a masterpiece, completely different than anything we were seeing on WWE TV at the time. Yeah. You know, the rematches, you know, people's opinions vary, but that first one was a classic. You know, Cena rises up to a challenge, and when it's on a big stage, he almost always delivers. You know, almost. Not always, but almost always.
That's why they call him Big Match John.
Oh, he's so awesome, man. I mean, I used to ironically cheer John Cena, like, so he could hear me yell at him while everyone else was booing him. But now, I'm just like, I'm full in John Cena fan. Don't
care. Well, what did the broken nose do in that case? Did they garner some sympathy? Is that a good storyline to use for the match? You know?
Oh, that'd be a great story, man, especially if he just starts getting nosebleeds or something. Oh, man.
Rollins should come out with a shirt that says, I broke Cena's nose.
That would be awesome, man. That would be so awesome. Like Wahoo, like Greg Valentine's I Broke Wahoo's Leg. Oh, man. If he had an iron on that said that.
Like an old, like, 70s style shirt.
That would be so awesome, man. Like, I'm telling you, man, this card is fucking loaded. There are so many matches that conceivably could take match of the night. I mean, the Wyatt's Shield tag could be the show stealer. Mm-hmm. Cena Rollins could be the show stealer. Orton Sheamus, man, I just don't think anyone's excited about the matchup, but both guys are really good in their roles. I mean, who knows?
Yep. I didn't hate their battleground match either.
Yeah, Ziggler Rusev could be the show stealer. Owen Cesaro could be the show stealer.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Scott, what's your take on Lesnar Taker?
Well, that's what we were going to conclude the show with.
And the Divas match, by the way. Also, yeah.
I think I think if that goes 15 minutes, I think that could be a really nice TV level match.
I actually think they're doing, just quick before we go into Undertaker Brock, I think they're doing a bit of a disservice having all nine of them in there at once doing the elimination thing. I don't think they're going to have time. No matter how much time they have, I don't think they're going to have enough time to have traction.
Well, that's what Raw
is
for.
Unfortunate.
I think they've kind of bungled it since they brought him up, to be honest, in a lot of ways.
Oh, you're 100% right, man. 100% right. Because really what you have is you have two groups. you have your Bellas, Alicia Fox, Tamina, who are really kind of like the mainstays of like what a diva is, right? Yeah. Which is eye candy and piss break.
Although I'll still take Nikki Bella out of that. I think Nikki Bella is greatly improved.
But even then, look at like the matches that she's having on TV. Like, she's improved in spots, but as a cohesive match, I saw a match of the year contender with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks.
Sure.
On the last NXT TakeOver.
Yep.
But yet, they're not pairing them up against each other. They're pairing them up against the old guard.
Well, what's scaring you more in that case? Is it that they're under the tutelage of the experienced divas and they're being held back, or they're going into the Raw system and maybe in the fear that they might disappoint us?
Whatever.
Just leaving it out.
Yeah. we got our divas points in.
Divas.
And I like Becky's tan. Figures nobody else does.
I think the only question with the divas is, does Sasha win or does Charlotte win, basically?
And Sasha's pulling double duty, too, so.
Yeah.
I think she's going to lose the belt to that little whatever.
Bailey.
She's going to lose.
Hey, Triple H likes Bailey.
You know, I think right after Battleground, I think everybody thought that Taker was just going to win this match because he was owed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Taker thinks that way anymore. I don't think he's thought that way for ages. Brock wins this match.
Never thought that way.
I think Brock beats the shit out of him like he did Cena last year. I think it's going to be just as much a squash. I think it's a whole red herring, all these fights and all this stuff. I think Brock goes in 10 minutes beats the living shit out of him.
I think Brock is going to become Moby Dick. I think he's going to be the guy that The Undertaker could never beat.
Yep.
I really, really do.
Only reason Taker's here.
I like the Captain Ahab reference. That's awesome.
I think the only reason Taker's here is to spike the buy rates and the people showing up at Barclays. He's not going to win this match.
But you know what? I'm going to defend Taker, and I never defend Undertaker because I want this guy to get the fuck off my screen. But I'm serious. I was not happy with the Bray Wyatt match. I said it was going to be a shit show.
Yeah, it was bad.
I thought it was a bad match. I thought he should have retired really after the Punk match or even after the Brock match. Putting over Brock was fine. Retire, go away. But you know what, man? If we can get the Taker that fought CM Punk, because I thought he was done then too. You know, I thought, oh man, he's walking wounded. Him and Brock could have something special. Like, I am going in completely optimistic that Undertaker has professional pride and wants to right the wrong from that horrible WrestleMania match.
Exactly. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder from it.
You know, I'm hoping because if we get the WrestleMania match all over again, I'll be so let down. Because he got a concussion. I understand all the problems with the match. But, man, I want this to be like – because, man, Brock's my guy. Like, Brock's like Ronda Rousey to me. I'm buying a ticket or I'm watching a show with Brock on it.
Yeah,
just sight unseen. Oh, Brock's going to beat up Kofi Kingston. Brock's on it. I'm buying it. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so I really want this to be a good match. Even though I want Undertaker to disappear, I want, you know, anybody like Kane or Big Show to disappear. You know, even Scott's boy Triple H. I want them gone so that these new guys can kind of rise up to the challenge. Even John Cena and Orton, man, they've been there for almost 15 years now or something. Yeah. Like, it's time, man. It's time to let these new guys sink or swim.
But you want to go out fighting.
Oh,
You don't want to go out, you know, with a real stinker.
Or with a lame Bray Wyatt match, yeah.
That happened with Foley. I mean, people loved the WrestleMania 20 tag match, but he felt disappointed. And he felt like he had to do something else. And he came back a month later and really ramped it up and had that great match with Orton.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the Undertaker's mindset here. I think he might be looking more to settle than you're saying. I think it's just going to be an average match. But it's not going to be bad match.
I disagree, man.
I think Undertaker's out to prove that him and Brock should have had a good match at WrestleMania 30. He had a concussion, and he wants to show what he can do without it. I think he's motivated. I think he's looked far more motivated than he's looked in quite some time, just in these segments on Raw.
I think the hair is fooling you.
No, man, those pull apart segments were great.
They were
TV.
Awesome.
They were.
Did one guy say "I hate you" and the other guy say "I hate you too"?
No, he said "I'm going to kill you," and he said "You're going to have to."
Okay, ooh, cool. That's yeah, that,
tough, pretty awesome. Talk.
That, I that's a
really
awesome
understand it really
talk.
Well, but
I hate you. I hate you.
I hate
too.
You too.
I know you are, but what am I?
Christ. But with Taker, the other thing is too. There's more of a story here, you know, because of, not only because of WrestleMania, but because he lost the match, he wants revenge. Like that's a much better narrative than when Brock Lesnar. Oh, I won a title match. Oh, well, I guess I'm not wrestling. And then The Undertaker shows up. What was disappointing leading into WrestleMania 30 is that there really was not a great story. It was just like, oh, it's Brock Lesnar. Oh, it's The Undertaker. Now there's a story. Now right, there's yeah. like, okay, you're going to eat shit and like it because you cost me my winning streak. So but, that's but, the part.
But to be fair, like even those Triple H matches, you know, and I enjoyed the one I saw live, but those weren't real good builds. It was all like, hey, yeah. let's go down memory lane. Yeah. The Punk match, I'm no bigger fan than of Punk's than me. The Punk match was a really horrible build. Great terrible. Match. The Bray Wyatt match was, oh, let's give Bray Wyatt Undertaker. It was like Bray Wyatt doing promos against himself because Taker never showed up.
Yep.
So,
he hasn't had a good build since Michaels.
Yeah, you're right. That's it. Yeah. You know, and I'm amped
build.
For this.
Yeah, this is a good build. You know what else is we've never really gotten to see because we don't know how much the concussion took out of the 30 match. We haven't gotten to see post UFC Lesnar against like full on MMA fan Undertaker. And I feel like that's part of what we saw in the pull aparts, like seeing these guys really. Because they had great matches back in the day, but they were more wrestling matches. Like I wanted
well,
to see
that WrestleMania 30 match was so sluggish, and and I don't even know if that was the concussion. I just think it was just poorly mapped out.
Hey, right. Reach, you're absolutely right because they did not like after the gong and the musical entrance, dude. That crowd wasn't popping for them. You know what I mean? They were sitting on their hands.
Right.
You know there was no great like excitement.
Reach and I were there.
Yeah.
You know, nobody gave
I
a
think
fuck.
Part of that was I think part of that was no one expected Brock to win though too. I mean, 2 months prior he'd been fighting the Big Show, you know, and this is before Taker lost to anybody. I mean,
And not to compare this to another great twofer, but you know, you had Shawn and The Undertaker like we were mentioning, and the Shawn Taker match of 25 is like the greatest match I've ever seen. I was there. But 26 was different, even though it's just as good of a match. But it was more like fast paced. It had more of a storyline behind it, and they seemed more motivated to kind of get the story across and get the action going. In the last one, I just hope that's the case with this one. That's all.
I'm praying for a great match because if they have a great match, I'm going to call it on this show on the main event. This could be the best SummerSlam of all time. It has that type of potential.
Well, I'll be the Debbie Downer and think that I'm not as optimistic about the match as you guys.
But does the extra hour help? Does it help the show like that?
Because hell
you
have yes.
wrestling.
If it's wrestling and not like, I mean, it could be Jon Stewart stuff, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, this card, man. I mean.
Oh, I mean, the card is good, but I mean, I think they could use the extra hour and just fill it with non-wrestling. I mean, that's what they do.
Man, you are ruining my good vibes. Scott, how long has it been since I've been optimistic about a WWE show?
58 years.
There you go.
I'm not down on the show.
Happy birthday, Scott.
Just this match specifically, I don't know. I mean, I think they'll try, and like you guys said, Undertaker may be motivated, and that's all well and good, but all the motivation in the world if he can't do it. Doesn't make a big difference. And I mean, his last good match was 2.5 years ago at this point. Yeah. So
it'll be interesting to see. It'll
just
be
a wait and see for me, you know.
I think that'll be the story though, JD. It'll be can motivation overcome physical limitations at this point?
Yep. And maybe he'll go out there and see all these other guys going out there and stealing the show and try and do it one last time. You know, that's what I'd hope for.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. So. Well, there's SummerSlam.
We'll end it with me farting all over that match. There.
And I
oh, fuck that. Fuck that, man. Best SummerSlam of all time, Scott.
I hope so. I'm going to be there.
2013.
I'll finally have, after 8 million years of being a wrestling fan, apparently, I will finally cap the big four. And I got
nice.
I got two of them out of the way this year, so I'm pretty pumped because I thought I'd never see one with it being in L.A. every year. So, guys, we are done. Next week, we have we'll have a special extra main event. It'll probably take a few weeks off after that, but we'll have a panel, not sure who, and we'll recap the weekend. We'll see if Ring of Honor lived up to the hype. Is Will right? Will SummerSlam live up to the hype? Will Finn Balor keep the title? Will Kevin Owens bring the belt on Sunday? Who knows? For Will, for Reesh, for Ben, for JD, I'm Scott.
I'm gonna do a drive-by on this show next week if it's the best SummerSlam of all time. I'm just calling in. Fuck it. I'm just gonna interrupt.
Basically, what Will's saying is
sausage party.
Is if it's the best show, he's gonna stay hyped.
Good night.
Fuck yeah.
Hey, Scott.
Shut up, Reesh.
As he weds the Elizabeth. Call your local cable right now and crank up the air conditioning and catch the blazing hot empty of SummerSlam.